very concerned because that varroa has come into the sentinel hives. An infected swarm hasn't disembarked off a ship and come into that hive that's been established somewhere else, and then indirectly they've contaminated that hive. So it's a really big concern that's not only in the sentinel hives, it's in the area around it as well.
And when you say sentinel hives, explain what they are.
Well, we have a national sentinel hive program, which is a wonderful thing, which we've got them centred all around Australia at major ports, and we've got beekeepers and biosecurity personnel regularly inspect those hives for varroa. We've had them out for a number of years now. It's a good system, and hopefully we've picked this up in time.
What's happening at the moment as we speak? What's the latest you've heard?
Well, it's lockdown in that area, up to 50 kilometres. I know one commercial beekeeper that's just brought a lot of bees in, and he wished he didn't, but that's what it is. So they'll start at that centre and gradually work out, and they'll inspect everything. Swarms in trees, recreational beehives, everything they can find and work their way out and test it all. They've got some very good, well-trained people in Australia, and I know they'll get them, but we've got to be vigilant, and we've got to rely on beekeepers to do the right thing and not take their bees out of the area. They will be reimbursed for anything they lose, so we've got to make sure that everyone does the right thing.
And indirectly, you when you say you've got well-trained people there, you've got somebody close to you who's actually at the heart of it.
Yes, my son is a biosecurity officer in New South Wales, so he's actually at it, doing a lot of overtime and complaining to his poor old father that he's got to do it, but he really wants to do it. They're very enthusiastic. They want to get on top of this.
What should Tasmanian beekeepers be thinking at the moment?
We are concerned, but we have a very good system here at the moment. If we buy queens from interstate, because you see on the mainland we have small hive beetle, it's not in Tasmania. We don't want it to come to Tasmania. So in quarantine, anything that comes into Tasmania, queen bees with escorts, are first of all inspected. We have a pretty good system. So we're locking down, and we should be inspecting our hives too. I'm sure we're going to do that more regularly now. In fact, I'm going to encourage our beekeepers to do it with a sugar shake system.
Yeah, sugar shake, what exactly is that?
Well, we take a number of bees, probably 25 of them, and put them into a container with icing sugar in it, and we give it a bit of a good shake, tip the icing sugar out, and make sure there aren't any varroa in the icing sugar. Once icing sugar comes in there, they can't hang on to the bees, and they've got to let go because it's too slippery for them. And that's one way of trying to detect them.
Now, if the varroa mite becomes active in Australia, and Australia is the only country, I believe, that the varroa is not present, what would that mean for beekeepers around the country?
Oh, it'd be terrible. Look, it would be terrible for us in Australia because we have a wonderful way of life here in Australia. We're not desperate. And, you know, it costs a lot of money to treat these things. You've got to put chemicals into the hives. It's a lot of work. And if we go on our near neighbours, New Zealand, when it happened to them, a lot of beekeepers walked away from the industry, and it's only the larger beekeepers who paid a lot more money to treat these hives that went on with beekeeping. It's a real threat for us.
Just explain what the varroa mite actually does to the bees, Lindsay.
It's a blood-sucking parasite, and it comes from Asia, where the Asian bees groom themselves more. The varroa mite gets into the drone brood, large drone brood that takes 24 days to hatch, so most of the females can hatch out. They've worked out a way, some of these mites, to live in our European bees that only take 20 days to hatch, so not all of them can hatch, but they can breed in our worker bee, which is a real problem. So they're blood sucking, they get into the cell, and they feed off the bee that's trying to grow. Oh, they are terrible things. They have deformed bees emerging from there, weak. They'll gradually kill the hive. They're terrible things that we don't want to contend with. And as I say, it costs about $32 to treat a hive and a lot of hard work. beekeepers just won't do it.
And can the mites be transferred by humans?
Most definitely. That's one of the ways. In a commercial beehive, sometimes beekeepers shift frames around to strengthen a weaker hive, and they can inadvertently do this if the varroa is on that hive. Yes, humans can shift them, and humans can transport them in their clothing too. They'll live for 2 or 3 days without other bees if they get into a beekeeper's clothing, and they can be transferred that way as well. And we do shift bees. We transport them. We migrate them. We can shift them all over the country if we're not careful by shifting hives to one place to the other.
Is this incident in Newcastle the biggest concern about varroa that you've seen so far?
Yes, it is, because it's got into sentinel hives. Previously, we have detected them in a swarm that's coming in on a ship or in a container, in furniture or in calves or something like that. We've got them firsthand, but this one has actually disembarked when, we don't know, it could be up to 2 years ago, and come off a ship undetected by us and got established somewhere in a bee tree or a swarm or something, and then they have infected these sentinel hives. That's a real worry for us, that we don't know how many are out there.
The president of the Tasmanian Beekeepers Association, Lindsay Burke, and the worrying discovery of varroa mite in a sentinel hive near the port of Newcastle. The Australian Honeybee Industry Council hopes the mite outbreak can be contained before the nation's beekeepers need to travel to pollinate crops. Acting Chief Executive Danny Lefebvre told Jennifer Nichols moving honeybees has been temporarily banned in New South Wales after commercial beekeepers' hives 10 k's away from the initial incursion zone were found infected with the world's most destructive bee parasite.
Since then, on Saturday morning, we've identified another point of concern, which was within the 10-kilometre eradication zone, so 10 kilometres from the original infection point. Since then, we haven't found any other detection points or infestations. The government has ordered a do not move for beehives across the state, and that's really precautionary because that second infection point that we found was in a commercial apiarist's hives, and that commercial apiarist has got a number of hives outside of the initial zone. So it's really a matter of just getting beekeepers to stand still so we can put a circuit breaker in and make sure that we can get it on top and get around to where all those other bees are and do some tracing work to ensure that we have surveilled and managed all those hives.
Now, beekeepers move a lot. What are the chances that this commercial apiarist has been travelling quite significant distances with hives?
So bees do move a lot during winter. There isn't a lot of movement. So if there's any sort of silver lining, it's the time of year. So bees themselves aren't very active. Beekeepers don't move their hives a lot, and we're hopeful, and we've already looked at some of them and not been able to find any other mites. So we're still very confident that we've got it contained to the Newcastle area.
When do the movements start for pollination of crops?
So the next crop that'll be ready for pollination will be almonds. Almonds start in the start of August. We also have blueberries that will start flowering soon as well on the north coast of New South Wales. And that's one of the main reasons, you know, we're putting a do not move order in place, is to try and get on top of it quickly. It's quite easy to remove that do not move order. We're hoping it might only be in place for a week or maybe 2 weeks until we can really get a handle on the situation and get it under control. And we feel that's the most effective way to minimise the disruption to any of the pollination events.
Now, we have had incursions in Queensland before, and they managed to eradicate the mite, but just how precarious a position is this?
Yeah, it's still early days, and we're still trying to establish the extent of the spread. But if we don't find any more mites, we're really confident we'll be able to achieve eradication, just like we did in Queensland. There's a number of different species of varroa mites. What's been the common ones that have had incursions in Queensland have been Varroa jacobsoni. The natural host for jacobsoni is Asian honeybees, and that's what they came in Townsville on. This detection is Varroa destructor. Their natural host is European honeybees, and so it's a much more dangerous pest than perhaps jacobsoni, and definitely the varroa mite that we don't want.
How much of a threat do these mites pose to the Australian beekeeping industry if it does spread?
We're still confident that we've got it contained and going to be able to eradicate it. But if it was to break the containment and spread across the country, we've got plenty of examples across the world of what that might look like. Australia is the last continent free of varroa mite. But what we have seen in other countries where varroa mite has established is that we do see an immediate shock to commercial beekeepers. In America, they lost about 30% of their commercial hives. We do see a big shock to the feral bee colonies in the landscape. So in New Zealand, it was well documented that 90% of the feral bee colonies, the ones that live in the trees and the walls, they disappear because the mite's not being managed. But once we get through that initial shock, we do have lots of examples again around the world how beekeepers can live with the mites. It'll mean that it's going to have added cost of production to beekeepers. They're going to have to treat hives, and it will be a different way of managing the bees, but we're certainly able to live with them. It's not going to totally destroy the industry.
Are there any threat to native Australian bee species?
No native Australian bee species, to our knowledge, will host varroa destructor.
Danny Lefebvre, what's your message to beekeepers?
Yeah, I think it's really important that beekeepers do the right thing. The only way we're going to contain this and eradicate this is by beekeepers adhering to the rules. So when the do not move order is in place, it's really important that beekeepers don't move their bees. Just allow the department to get on with the job, do the tracing, work out the high-risk area, get the surveillance done, and that way we'll get on top of it. If you feel you really want to do something to contribute, within the do not move order, there is an exemption to allow you to do some alcohol wash or sugar shakes in your hives, so you can do some of your own surveillance, and then you can report that surveillance back to the department. And if we can mobilise all the beekeepers to do sugar shakes and alcohol washes to monitor the varroa, then we're really going to understand where it is and also understand where it not is, and ensure that we've got it contained.
So explain to me what's going on the ground in New South Wales. I imagine you've got a centre you're working with, the New South Wales DPI.
Yeah, sure. So I'm based in Orange and I'm at the State Control Centre here, and we're involved in planning the response. We've set up a local coordination centre, and that's at Maitland, just outside of Newcastle, and they're coordinating the on-ground response as well. And so I've come in from industry, not involved in the government or the responses, but it's sort of blown me away to see the amount of hard work and the activity that's happening in both these centres over the weekend and how it's going to ramp up over the next few days.
So they've got a ton of people on the job.
There's a ton of people on the ground. There's a ton of people in the control centres planning and doing the procedures and working through logistics of getting people moved and mobilising them to Newcastle. They're pulling in department staff from all over the state. And, yeah, they're taking it as seriously as all the beekeepers, that's for sure.
That's Australian Honeybee Industry Council Acting Chief Executive Danny Lefebvre talking there to Jennifer Nichols. Well, the ban on bee movements in New South Wales has put travel plans on hold for a commercial beekeeper, Rex Carruthers, who was planning to hit the road next week for the first stage of a 2,000-kilometre journey to pollinate almonds in Victoria. Pollination is his main form of income. He shared his concerns about the varroa destructor mite incursion in Newcastle with Jennifer Nichols.
The worst part about this, we don't know how long it's been there. We haven't got enough information. But the biggest concern, of course, if it's got away, then we'll be living with this for the rest of our lives. But we just don't know.
What are you doing with your bees at the moment? Are you having to feed them up?
Yeah, we feed all the time. Like in the prep to almonds, the bees are always fed. We're feeding sugar syrup and pollen supplements, yes. We were thinking of heading into New South Wales early, not this week, next week, on the way down. So that's all been put on hold now. So we might just have to continue feeding for a few more weeks.
Wow, so this is going to have an immediate impact on your ability to travel then?
Yes. Well, there's no movement of beehives in New South Wales, so no, we couldn't cross the border. We're just thankful that we are still here. If we had moved down into New South, onto early canola, we would be stuck there. We couldn't move anywhere.
So at this time of year, you would normally be heading off pretty much now?
Yes, that's right, because it's 2,000 kilometres from here to Armand. And if we can find a nice spot halfway, which is around the Ningen area, where there's early canola, we would have just moved the bees to there and let them settle for a few weeks. And it just cuts the stress levels down on that big shift for them and for me. So, yeah, we would normally, the first week in July, be looking at going down to Ningen. And then the last few days of July and the first week of August, we'd be moving into almonds. So I'm just grateful that they're still here. Yeah, look, it all hinges on how long has it been here. And until we know that, it's going to be really hard to work out a way forward. So there's going to be some, I'd say in the next few days in New South Wales, there's going to be some big decisions to be made. So I hope we can just get in and do a lot of very, very quick surveillance and see what happens.
Well, I know that they're destroying all of the hives within a 10-kilometre radius of the original incursion site at the Port of Newcastle. But what about the feral bee population, the honeybees that are living in hollows in trees in bushland?
Yeah, this is always a problem. And there has been some really good solid research done on what we call remote poisoning. Because what you say, Jennifer, is 100% right. In areas there is large populations of feral bee colonies, and the only way to get, because you can't find them, most people don't even know where they exist, but they're there. My personal opinion is that we might have to try and put in place a remote poisoning, whatever, to try and, well, we've got to eliminate any colony. Anywhere where the varroa can live must be removed. What we've known from other countries is it's generally been in the country for 2 or 3 years before it's found. And I did hope we would be quicker than that with all our surveillance hives and things like that. But hard to know just where it came in.
Do you know exactly how they move?
They move most easily by hopping on and off of bees on flowers. So a bee will alight on a flower to pick up nectar or pollen. The mite hops off on the flower and the next bee arrives and it jumps on. So, yeah, that hitchhike effect is the way they get around so quickly. So if there's a lot of hives in a good flowering episode, well, then the mite travels very quickly. I always try and think through the process of, you know, we've got a load of bees in one spot, those bees forage out and come back to where they come from. But in reality, there's hives all around the place, so you could travel 2 or 3 kilometres in one hop. It's very, very efficient at covering the ground.
What's that going to mean for that farmer who has the canola crop?
Oh, they're probably not going to worry him too much. Like a commercial crop of canola doesn't require pollination or anything like that, but it does help.
It's the almond crop that absolutely relies on the honeybees.
Yes, yes, it's the almonds that are going to be, how are we going to get there, or if we can even get there. No doubt there'll be a lot of planning and discussion to see what can be done.
I guess if you were moving straight through, because you drive through the night, your bees aren't really going out and foraging that much when you're travelling?
No, that's true. The only problem you have there is, and look, I think there'd possibly be some merit in looking into that, but you've got to try to work out where those bees have come from. So nothing in New South is allowed to move, and even if we had a corridor through New South, it'd be still very difficult to police. Then the last thing we would need is varroa-infested colonies to go to almonds. That would be an absolute disaster.
So you're happy to comply with whatever their directions are at this stage just to try to get on top of this ASAP?
Oh, yes. Yeah. If we can't get on top of this, it'll make the beekeeping industry in Australia totally different and not one that you'd be keen to be a part of, to be honest. It'll make it very difficult.
Well, the cost of production would have to go up considerably, you'd imagine.
Yes, and there's no capacity to get the cost of your product up, so you're stuck. It would be non-viable in the short term. And the other issue that we have is our colonies run brood 12 months a year. And most countries that manage varroa have a period in the middle of winter when they have no brood. So that's a major factor as far as trying to control it. We would have to look seriously at what we do and how we do it to be able to manage the varroa load on our colony.
That's professional pollination provider and beekeeper Rex Carruthers from the Sunshine Coast, talking there to Jennifer Nichols. He was planning to hit the road next week for the first stage of a 2,000-kilometre journey to pollinate almonds in Victoria. But as you heard there, cannot move the bees into New South Wales and move through that state at this stage.